My text this morning is in the second epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 12. It's a passage, but my immediate text is in verse 9. My strength is made perfect in weakness. The whole verse reads, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I'm sure that as I read this chapter at the beginning, it seems it's a very unusual chapter. And unusual words, very beautiful and very striking. And then it comes to a principle that is so important in our Christian lives. Now then, our theme is, if you remember, great expectations, or God's expectations in the life of the Christian. And the Christian being a person who has experienced the grace of God and is able to say with honesty in his heart that he has come from darkness to light. And that itself is a miracle. It's the hand of God upon the very heart of our soul and brings us to an understanding of our state. In fact, like the children's story, where we are, that we are in sin, and that we are in Adam, and that we're on our way to hell. He shows us where we are. And then by his touch of mercy and life, he changes that direction and shows the way to heaven. He first of all brings us to our first place, as we are convicted of our sin, when we see how of the holiness of God, he brings us to Christ. Because we cannot go any further without him. And it is there we find that we are forgiven of all our sin, past and present and future. And it is there that we are given the life of Christ as if it were ours. We approach him through repentance and faith, which are gifts from God. And as we come to him, we become and are the children of God. It begins then, although the story has begun in eternity, it begins also in that secret visit to the heart, in a kind of realistic and practical way. It begins then when we come to Jesus Christ. A new life lies ahead of us. New interests, new attitudes, a new destination. We know now the way. And when you're going somewhere and you know where you're going, you don't need a wide, wide road. And you don't need a winding one. You just need a straight road. And a straight road is a narrow road. And it's a narrow way. And that's the way that we go. Now then, are there problems? Well, yes, that's why we have this series. That's why we have the epistles. That's why we have the Sermon on the Mount by our blessed Saviour. And all the instruction he has in the Gospels as well. And the problem is that although our position is right with God in Christ, our progression in this life is slow. We're still in this mortal body of sin. The flesh is not sinful, but it is easily influenced by sin. It's vulnerable. And we have much of the old ways clinging to us. Like I mentioned last week, country A and country B. Country A is the place of sin, B the place of grace. And you're brought now through grace into where the kingdom of God is on earth. And you are right with God, but you keep saying, "This is how I did it in the old country." And they say, "But not now here. We have a new way. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new." But it's very difficult for me because these things are clinging to me. But as we grow in grace, and as we are willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, so we go on with God. Now then, there's a word we often use which helps to understand this. It's the word self. You can see it's in the word selfish, self-centeredness. The word self is when I am in the right place, but I'm still allowing many of the old ways to cling to me. And in a rather determined fashion as well. In a selfish way. In a determined way. Yet I am the Lord's. So we have then, with this problem of self, or the progression of the new man, we have then the dealings of God. Now, that is simply what we have now. The thrust of this message then is this. Paul gives us his struggle, just a glimpse into it, and then it leads us to a principle that can help every one of us, I believe. Now then, Paul gives his background here, and he shares with us something very intimate. You'll get a preacher doing this sometimes in a pulpit, and it has to be when the Spirit comes upon him, and he may share something that normally he wouldn't do, but he feels constrained to do so, and it helps. He's done so in the obedience of God, and it helps a number of people, maybe unknown to him. It is an unusual thing to do, because mainly we preach the objective truths, a trust in the power of the Spirit. But Paul here, in a way, almost breaks the rules. Not really, but he reveals something. But he's not willing to talk about it. He says, whether I was in the flesh, or whether it's not, whether I was awake or asleep, I don't know, but God knows. But I was taken into the third heaven, and I was shown things that it is not right that I should talk about them. So he's wise. You know, sometimes we can be very foolish and share those intimate things that are just between God and ourselves. But he is wise. Nevertheless, he said, he lifted me in such a way, and in a way, he showed me the wonder of my position in Christ. But he kept me in my place. He kept me that I might not boast about these things. He gave me a thorn. Now, there's been an awful lot of speculation about this thorn. And I don't think we need particularly to speculate other than that God allowed it. And it was necessary. Jacob, remember the struggle he had? He was made lame. Now, you may say it was physical lameness, yes, but lame also in another way that he might not boast. I'm special. God has said this to me. God has said that to me. I'm a super Christian. So he gave me a thorn. And though I may be one of the greatest of the apostles, yet I am nothing. So now he's kept in his place. And whilst he's kept in his place like that, God trusts him with many wonderful truths. Now look at the spirituality. I don't want any man to think of me above that which he seeth in me, or that he heareth of me. I don't want anyone to think, oh, Paul, oh, what a wonderful man, what a godly man, just to sit in his presence or whatever. No, I don't want that, he said. I don't want anyone to think more of me than what I am. But he says, I have a problem. I have a thorn. And I'm glad he didn't tell us what the thorn was. He said that Satan took advantage of it and buffeted him with it. And in verse 7 he says, unless I should be exalted above measure to the abundance of revelations, lest I should boast, because I said, I've had this revelation, I've had that revelation, I've had this experience, I've had that experience, lest I should do that because it is wrong to do it, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. God allows it, lest I should be exalted above measure. In verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Three times I asked him, please, let this thorn, this thing that hurts me so, this thing that keeps me down and really keeps me in my place, Lord, I would be a better preacher. Lord, I would be more exalted in the sight of men. Lord, men would honor what I say because of you. It would be to your advantage, Lord, if I could get rid of this thorn. I asked him three times. And you know what he said? In verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Stop it, Paul. I'll give you grace to deal with it, but I'll not take it away. Why? If I did, you would get exalted and think of yourself above measure. Can you see the wonder of that now and the honesty of this man in saying this? My strength is made perfect in weakness, he said. Now look at what you would be missing. My strength is not made perfect when a person says, I'm strong, I'm a great Christian. No, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. All right, make me weak then, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, don't you think that is beautiful, really now? All right, Lord. All right. I will glory in these afflictions, whatever they may be. I'll glory in these, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, that the strength might not be mine, but thine. Make me weak then, Lord, in order that thy strength might be in me. Now then, God's expectations. Are we willing to walk that way? Are we willing to take that on? Now, the grace of God. Let's look now at the one to whom he is looking. My message is simple this morning, but maybe penetrating too. For myself anyway. The grace of God. So we begin with God. We are concerned the sufficiency of God's grace in all situations. Now, the grace of God. What is grace? Now, grace in the ordinary sense. If somebody should be to you or to myself very, very unkind, you know, terrifically unkind, and I might say, hit you under the belt, as we put it, you know, and it hurts. And then you were hurt, but you overcame it. And when that person needed help, you went all out to give them or whatever it was. And another person might say, my, you showed grace. Now we use it, all right, in ordinary everyday speech. Now what is grace? Grace is God's favor to undeserving sinners. God's favor to me, an undeserving person. God's favor to you, undeserving people. We do not deserve his favor. Now the first place we have it is in what I mentioned already, in our redemption. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't deserve to have the life of Christ counted for us. We don't deserve to have his strength all the days of our life. But in our redemption and in our position of faith in Jesus Christ, by grace, he gives us that. We don't deserve it. So we come across the grace of God there. Now we've been singing a hymn as well. He giveth and giveth again. And when our strength is exhausted and so on, a store of endurance has come to its end and so on. He giveth and giveth again. His love, his grace, his power is without limits. That kind of a hymn. Beautiful. Now the grace of God is that. He meets, supplies all our needs. It is without limits. And this is the God we're talking about. So in verse 10, he says in this chapter, therefore, I take pleasure, look at this, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, I almost welcome them, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress. Why? For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's take an extreme example of a physical one, where in Lystra, I think, the first one, where he was stoned so thoroughly that they didn't check to see he was dead, because nobody could have survived such a stoning. And I cannot imagine anything more cruel. But he was going to get up in a minute, and he would be able to say, when I am weak, I am strong. Then he came back to that place again to check up to see if the Christians were encouraged. To a dangerous place. Why? He said, well, it's dangerous and all that, but I am strong. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, he had understood it. It is a remarkable statement. Now, he has a great view of God. I could take you to many parts of where he says about his view of God. But I've chosen one. And it's in Romans 11, verse 33, and a few verses there, and I'll read them to you. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Now, isn't that good? Now, look at that. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him? And it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory for ever. Amen. Look at that last bit there. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So Paul is saying here, God is my source. God is my strength. Now, who are we? Where am I? The little I, for information. Where am I? Am I in Adam, lost, or am I in Christ? And if I am in Christ, then he's telling me, I have from you great expectations. And we can say to him, but Lord, our expectation is from thee. Do you see the picture? There's our principle beginning to unfold itself. Now then, we come now to the costly bits. The ground of battle. Now then, we know our source and we are in Christ. Now we know that he perfects his strength in weakness. We are given a verse in the Old Testament. A broken and a contrite heart he will not despise. In James, he resisteth the proud. He will fight against the proud, whoever they are. And whatever they may boast, even scripturally, whatever they may boast, God will actually resist them. But he giveth grace to the humble. Now, we have those verses to help us there as well. Now, where do we stand? Are we in Christ? Well, he has great expectations, but our expectations should be from him. And the principle is set out. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, this is the very opposite of the world. Now, what does the world teach us? And what are we taught? Schools, colleges, wherever. We are told to be able, when we're filling an application form, sell yourself. You know, project yourself. Interview well. Don't say, I think I can do it. Say, I know I can do it. And I'm the best man for you. That's how the world teaches. That's how the world thinks. Create a good image of yourself. Know exactly how to sell yourself. Know exactly the intonation of your voice. Know exactly that. A preacher can do that. I've never tried it. But some, you know, there's some schools of, I've heard of, and I remember reading of once, where a preacher would practice before a mirror the expressions of his little face and where his little hands went to, rather than let it be just natural and let him pour his heart out honestly. All sorts of things that are done. So treacherous it can be. It's sometimes called positive thinking. Here's the opposite. Be positive about God. About God. Are we willing to go that far? Now, desire God's strength and not allow anything in our lives to hinder. Now, what is going to hinder in my life and what is going to hinder in your life? Self. The old humanity, my old ways, the ways of the country B, the ways of that I used before. I'm not harming anybody and I'm not going to give them up. And if we are going to give them this, a bit of a struggle. Now, what is self? Self is self-centeredness. It's selfish. It works out in that we follow the Lord, but so long as he does not interfere with my interest, what my mind likes to dwell on, what my desires like to fulfill, the places I'd like to go to, where if Christ stood there, he says, are you here? Are you here, my blood-bought child? Or if we're looking at something that's unworthy, are these worthless things put before your eyes, my blood-bought child? Are you here? Are you reading this material, my blood-bought child? Are you here? I said, why not? I go to chapel. I even go to prayer meeting. Bible class too. And I witness. What more do you want? I tithe? I give to the church? Self is sin. Right? Self is sin. That's why men commit murder, either physically or in their hearts, where they say in their hearts, I could murder him. I could kill him. Or they say, I'd never forgive him. Why? It's self. It's self. It is sin. Or if it's adultery, physically, or in your heart, as our Lord put it, it's self. It's gratification of what I desire. The gratification of self. Well, you might say, we have a long way to go. Yes, we are. Our position is right, remember. But in our progression, we have a long way to go. And our battle is with the old humanity, with self. Now, I don't know this song. I only know this line of it. It's a popular song sung by somebody very famous whom I forget. Now, this is the word I remember. I did it my way. We do, don't we? Well, Lord, here I am. Believe in Jesus, but I did it my way. I know the Bible said that. A bit old-fashioned. I did it my way. My way is the way of self. Now that's the area of battle. We forget this verse, 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. In your body. And in your spirit, which are God's, and in the previous verse, ye are not your own. Glorify God, you are bought for the price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirits. Now, that's the area of battle, this rebellion and this self-will and this unwillingness to submit to God, this cruel self. We love it and we hate it. We follow it and then we regret it. It hinders us and yet we allow it. We allow these things to trail along us like this instead of, Lord, help me. And if we call like that, he will do it. There are many ways. There's one way, a submission to the will of God. There is another way. He will be glorified. He will not allow his children not to glorify him. And however long it takes, he will do it. So in this particular case with Paul, he said, I could have been exalted, but he wasn't going to let me start. So what did he do? He weakened me. Whatever way that was, physically, whatever it was, he weakened me so that I should not think of myself above measure. One old preacher in old times, when he began to think highly of himself, would be a long time coming into the pulpit, and he would be walking around John Newton, around the table in the minister's room, reminding himself of what God saved him from. And then when he saw his size, he felt he could climb the pulpit steps. Do you see the picture? Are we willing to be weakened in order that we might be strong? If we do not cooperate, God deals with us because we are his. Now, lastly, the glory of God. He will be glory. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Now, think, every one of us here who believes, your body, my body, is a kind of a temple. It is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. So there are two things there. Now, I'm a kind of a temple individually, and a temple of the Holy Ghost. So therefore, be holy, for I am holy. And in any case, I am bought, I used to be the property of Satan, but I've been bought into the freedom of Christ, yet nevertheless, I am the servant of righteousness and the property of God. So now I must deal with those things that spoil my Christian life. Doctrinally, is allowing old ways of the old man to take over or to try to. What is our chosen path? Are we living willingly our spiritual purpose. Let me ask ordinary questions. Do we read our Bible daily? Do we? You answer now. Do we pray daily? Do we exercise prayer without ceasing, which means living close to Him, never further than thy cross, never higher than thy feet? Do we apply Christian principles in our lives? Do we glorify God? Are we willing to love our enemies? Are we willing to do good to them that despitefully use us? Are we willing to be sacrificial in our life, in our giving, whatever it may be? Are we willing? And even if we are willing, we are still debtors. We are debtors to mercy alone, and of covenant mercy we sing. Are we willing? Now, the dealings of God, to put us in our place, that we might not think above measure of ourselves. He does it so graciously and so gently, and yet so firmly. You know, because He can say, look, you are mine, and I'm not having it. Your eyes must not look that way. Your ears must not listen to that. Your desires must not be in that way. I must bring you into a corrective way. He does it gently, firmly. He does that. He's saying, I will be glorified. And He said, what will you do, Lord? Because I'm very difficult, very well. In your case, I'll have to give you a thorn then. Why, Lord? That you might not think of yourself above measure. There's no need to speculate on the thorns. But He knows how to keep us in our place. Why? Because men like to be strong. They like to be physically strong. Or women like to be strong in beauty. Are strong men and women in knowledge, in something. We like to boast, or to say how clever our children are, or whatever. He says here, I'm willing to be weakened if it means to be strong in God. You see, it's a wonderful bargain. You could have a preacher, if you like to make it easy, you could have a preacher depending upon his own strength, and he would be popular, whatever, to a certain degree. But never very much would be achieved. But if he is willing to accept even a thorn, or a couple, or two, or three of them, so that he's weakened, it's worth it, in order that the strength of God might work. In all sorts of ways, mostly unknown to him, but in all sorts of ways. Paul said, it's worth it. Oh, it's worth it. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory. Now listen to this. I welcome the dealings of God. I welcome the weakening of God. For my grace is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. Do you see the principle? It's worth it. These are the dealings of God and His expectations. An area of our responsibility now. Now, here's a hymn which I'll read to you because he put it so well. It's a hymn at one time, early in my Christian life, when I was feeling very sorry for myself. It puts me in my place. Oh, the bitter shame and sorrow, that the time could ever be when I let the Saviour's pity plead in vain and proudly answered, all of self and none of thee. Notice, proudly answered. I did it my way. All of self and none of thee. Yet he found me, I beheld him bleeding on the accursed tree, heard him pray, forgive them, Father, and my wistful heart, it's a change, said, faintly, only faintly now, some of self and some of thee, I make a bargain, a little bit of me and a little bit of you. Day by day, his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, sweet and strong and dark, so patient, brought me lower while I whispered. Less of self and more of thee. higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea. Lord, thy love at last has conquered. Grant me now my supplication, none of self, and all of thee. To bring us there, the glory of God, his strength. There is our cooperation, our generous cooperation. Now look at the list of things here, verses 9 and 10. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Is that lovely? Do you want that? That the power of Christ may rest upon us. And that we might learn that when we are weak in our own efforts and our own strength, and depend upon him, then we are strong. Paul would tell us, do it. Cooperate. It's worth it. Lay aside all this selfishness and self-gratification and live to the glory of God and enjoy him forever. Now, I found a hymn that I partly know by heart. I'm going to read it to you and then finish. I don't think many of you will know it. My Saviour, thou hast offered rest, O give it then to me. Now, the rest now, or this struggle, O give it then to me. The rest of ceasing from myself to find my all in thee. This cruel self, how it strives and works within my breast to come between thee and my soul and keep me back from rest. How many subtle forms it takes of seeming verity. It justifies itself. How many subtle forms it takes of seeming verity. As if it were not safe to rest and venture all on thee. I say, it's not safe to rest on God. It's not safe. O Lord, I seek a holy rest, a victory over sin. I seek that thou alone shouldst reign over all without within. In thy strong hand, now listen, in thy strong hand I lay me down. So shall thy work be done. For who can work so wondrously as the Almighty One? Then this lovely stanza, work on then, Lord, thorns, whatever. Work on then, Lord, till on my soul eternal light shall break, and in thy likeness perfected, I satisfied shall wake. Do you think it's worth it? When I am weak, then I am strong. You know? That the strength and the beauty of the Lord may rest upon us. Venture on him. Let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy goodness to us and ask thee to help us in these precious lessons. We do not find them easy, Lord, but we have thy grace, and we find thy grace sufficient for these things, that we might be such people, and then thou art able to use us, and then it will be to thy glory. For thy name's sake, amen.